O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. We're thankful we are able to gather together again in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to worship him who was raised for our justification. If you're visiting with us today for the first time, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin, detach it, and put it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Our brother Russell Goodman will be leading our second service at 2 p.m. at Pacific Hills Manor this afternoon. Beginning at 3 p.m. this afternoon, our brother Greg Tomlinson will be teaching the series on church history. And at 4 p.m., Pastor Otero will continue the discipleship class on how to study the Bible, an activity of great benefit to all believers in Christ. In our 5 p.m. evening worship service, Pastor Otero will continue teaching the series on Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Today he will be speaking on the Lord Jesus Christ, the faithful scribe from the book of Ezra. Please consult your bulletin for other activities this afternoon. Our scripture reading for today, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 9, verses 2 and 14. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. Let us begin our worship now with the singing of hymn number 27, I Sing the Mighty Power of God. Continue our worship with hymn number 256, It Is Well With My Soul, verses 1, 2, and 4.
Thank you.
Please stand now as we sing hymn number 393, Take My Life and Let It Be.
Just before we turn into prayer, I want to remind you again, if you're interested in your Sunday school class material, we have plenty of them for you. The whole quarter already printed. You can have them free so that you can know what your teacher is going to deal with in the coming class. And then at 4 o'clock, we are studying a college Bible class in how to understand the Bible. If you cannot be here, you can request a copy of the material, and then you can have it in your home. My idea is that, my goal is that you be informed with the Word of God and how to study the Word of God. And I'm going to feed you just like a college. It's a college class. And it's at 4 o'clock. And if you cannot be here, you can ask for the material. It's all free. Donations of $1,000 or more are welcome. All right. Let's pray together. Lord, we are excited about your word. We are excited about your kingdom. And we are excited that you have commissioned us to teach the word of God and to baptize. and then to teach them to observe all things till you come. And the Bible tells us when you are coming. The Bible tells us that you are coming at the end of the age. And we don't know when that day will be, but we know it will be one day. And we want to do the work of evangelizing and discipling your people so that they may know Jesus as Savior, but also as Lord of their life. Father, we are praying this morning not only for ourselves, but within the spectrum of our great witnessing. We do have people listening at this hour in two stations, in KKMC, in from Salinas, in KKXX, in Chico. And then, Lord, we have people listening over the internet across America and across the world. And we pray that they too may grow in faith. And if they need this material that we offer, that they should request it. And so, Father, we want to provide instruction for people to know Christ and to live the life of Christ. Father, we are grateful that not only we have a broadcasting missionary work, but also within our possibilities, we do have missionaries across America and across the world. We do have Fred and Carol Lewis, who will be here the coming Sunday, Father, and they are stationed in Ukraine, and the next assignment will be in Siberia. And Father, I never thought that somebody would love to go and teach the Bible in Siberia. But that's how you deal with your people. And part of our sermon today is to understand your calling and our gift to the ministry. And we praise God for that. Father, we pray praise your name for Carol and Ruth Knotts. They are missionaries in Spain. They are coming to America for a while and go back into Seville. And we pray that you bless them and give them wisdom as they start all over again the ministry of the gospel. We pray for Eusebio and Maritza Perez and the beautiful coast, Costa del Sol, there in Spain, and Benalmadena. Lord, they are gorgeous places, Mijas, Benalmadena, Malaga, great places, and our missionaries are open, and they have a British church and also a Spanish church, and we pray that they may be multiplied in their efforts, and we pray for their encouragement. Here in our town, South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, a light of refuge in the darkness and in the most maybe difficult time of the ladies that get pregnant without the commitment of marriage. Lord, thank you for the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center. For Reuben and Irene Zachar, reaching the people in the farm areas of Lodi. Thank you, Lord, for that. For the American Association and Sport Activities in San Jose, reaching the young people. And Lord, thank you for Daniel, who this afternoon is in Long Beach, in the Grand Prix of Long Beach. And he called for prayer as he ministered to 100,000 people, listening as he pray as the race start, and then as he hold the chapel today. Bless him, O God, with power, with words, and with wisdom, and how to deal with this open situation and open opportunity for him. And for Martha Peretti, who deal in the Alcoholic and Drug Addict Center in Argentina. These are people that have no salary. They just trust you for the supply of every day. And so thank you, Lord, that in the midst of difficulties, with $6 a gallon on the gasoline, and Martha is still going and is still showing these people how to work with their hands and then leave the devotional with them so that they can look forward to meet Jesus as Savior. Bless her work, encourage her life and the life of Maria, her helper, so that they, O God, little by little, may see the seed of God in the hearts of people. Lord, we miss today Mia Ram, and she is in Colorado because of her uncle passed away. And we pray that she be encouraged and that she be touched by your presence and that she be a witness in with her family. We pray for Jimmy Dolillo, who is sick today, Lord, and I love my boys here in church, and I miss them when they are not here. And so, Father, give him a strength in his body. And it's nice to see our little ones become young people and later on become men and women of God used in the gospel. Thank you for the homes that you have placed in our care, Lord. Thank you for the people who care so much and they are so willing to come here to this church, sometime from far away, learning the Word of God, going home and teaching the Word of God and home to their families. And we can see when they come how the Lord is blessing and dealing in the heart of each one of them. Lord, we pray for Dolores, and she's here with us, and we always are encouraged to see her good spirit. And thank you, Lord, for her and for Mark's, and we pray your blessings upon their life. Thank you, Lord, that today in a passage of the scripture that our brother is going to read is going to challenge our life to dedicate ourselves a little more careful in the ministry of the gospel. Help us to understand it. Help me to communicate it so that we all profit from the richness of your word. Thank you, Lord, for the choir who's going to praise your name. May the choir today shine again, and may the people know that we praise the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the giving of this church and the pre-giving of your people. And we pray that you bless the giver and bless the offering in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. My friends, this is Pastor Otero speaking. From back of the auditorium as the offering take place. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for being a part of our church extension. And I want to offer again our prayer line. You can call to our church to 408-778-2595 and leave your request for prayer. You can leave your request for counsel. And give me your phone number and I can be in touch with you. I know you are listening from different parts of the world and different parts of the United States. And I'm glad to be in service to you and what I can do, praying for you, guiding you through the scripture. May God bless you and may this service be very profitable to you. Once again, if you need to contact me, the best way is to call 408-778-2595. Leave your name and phone number, and I will be in touch with you quickly. May God richly bless you as you fellowship with us today. Let's join the service in progress.
Thank you, choir. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 7 through 16. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 689. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 16. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together, and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body, unto the edifying of itself in love. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray together. Our gracious Father, we thank you for the high privilege of coming into your presence as we share the grace of your salvation and some gift of grace to benefit your church. Help us to stir up those gifts within us, we pray, that we may do the work you have given us to do. We pray for our pastor, your servant Gabriel Otero, as he brings the message from your word now. We ask that you would bless him as he exposes your word and give us understanding that we can apply the teaching to our own lives, to our own situations. Strengthen us that we may be obedient to your word. Bless those who do not know you, that they may also believe in Christ and gain eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, my brother. And as you know, we are engaged in this month of April. In my last sermon, I said May, but it's April. We are engaged in studying Walking with God. Our last study was on Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 6, which was the first study on walking with God. And the emphasis was the unity of the believers as we study walking worthy of your calling. Now, today, as you heard, Brother Plica read the scripture. The reading leads us to a common thought. Walking using our gift. Walking in life, behaving in life, using our gift. And the best way to understand this is just go verse by verse as I brother read it. Take it from verse 7 all the way to verse 16. And I will try to arrange all of these within the time limit that we have over the air. But we will go verse by verse and make some remarks so that you as a believer, and many of you are using your gift, but maybe some of you thought that you have no gift whatsoever and that you cannot make any contribution to the kingdom of God. And that's an error, really. And so let you discover what the Word of God said as we go through it. And let's believe the word as we read it, and let the word of God speak to you in a very mighty way. So we start in verse 7, where our brother starts. And verse 7 teaches on the topic walking using our gift. Verse 7 teaches every believer is gifted. Look at verse 7. That unto every one of us. Now, the Bible doesn't say, but unto some of us. You see that? The Bible said, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And so I'm going to point out to you that there are two gifts, at least two gifts that you have if you are a believer. Number one, you have the gift of salvation. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 8. You have the gift of salvation. That's the first gift you have. The Bible said in Ephesians 2 and in verse 8, for by grace, and the original have a complete emphasis, and so said, you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is what? It is the gift of God. So the first gift that we have is the gift of salvation. You and I have no earned salvation. You and I have no even sometimes seek for salvation. But God in His wisdom, He has saved us as a gift. He give you a gift, the gift of salvation. So Paul now instructing the church and how to stand as a body of believers, he said, unto every one of us, he said, remember, unto every one of us is given a grace. And through that grace, you have a gift. The first gift you have is the gift of salvation. Now, the second gift you have is the gift or gifts, not only one, maybe many, of expressing, communicating, celebrating, like when the choir sing in the church, is celebrating the Lord Jesus. You have that gift. You have maybe the gift of displaying Christ in a magnificent way. And so these are the gifts whereby you are using these talents, you are using these abilities to make the name of Christ known unto man. And if you go to Romans in chapter 12, you will find it. This is in page 668, if you use the Bible in the pulpit. In Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 6, you will notice that the Bible there, by the pen of the Apostle Paul, make known that you have certain gifts, other above the gift of salvation. The Bible says in Romans 12 and in verse 6, having then gifts, you saw that plural? It's plural in your Bible. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given unto us. It's almost similar to what Paul said in Ephesus. You have a gift completely different to mine, but it was given unto us, they said. Let us use them, said the scripture. Let us use them. And give you a listing in prophecy, and we're going to talk later on about that. Let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, just means service. Let us use it in our service, in our ministry to one another. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, and some people have the means and the ability to give, do it liberality. He who leads with diligence, and he who showed mercy with cheerfulness. And so we are rejoicing in the fact that when we go back to Ephesians in chapter 4 and in verse 7, the first instruction in this walking, using your gift, is I want to inform you, in case that you don't know, if you are a believer in Christ, you have at least the minimum of two gifts. One, the gift of salvation given by God to you at the moment in which you came to Christ, and the other, the gift to be able to express, to communicate, to celebrate, to display Christ in one way or another within the body and within your community. So every believer is gifted. Are we thankful to God? Every believer is gifted. Number 2, verses 8 to 10, going back to Ephesians 4, every believer's gift or gifts are paid for. You know, when you are planning an education, many times the cost of that education comes into being. When my daughter seek for medical education, we look to God for a lot of prayer, because if you're going to study medicine, you know it is very, very expensive. And so you're going to be an engineer. It's also expensive. Any education, our seminary, I remember in my time in the 70s, cost us $58,000, the 6 years in the seminary in 1970. And so it was very, very, very expensive. I was blessed that I work as an engineer. And remember in the 60s when Bar Rapid Transit came in, and I was in the wagon with Bethel Corporation, and I was one of the engineers that designed the under tunnel and the stations above, and the Lord was blessing me with a lot of money. Never knew why, because we use every penny we have in the saving to pay, and then Raquel had to work in Bank of America as an accountant in order to get me through the doctor's degree. But I tell you, it is expensive. But concerning the gift of God, the talent of God, is free. It's free. Actually, it's not free. It's paid for. It's paid for. Somebody pay. So let us see. And so some people are confused with verse 8, verse 9, and verse 10. But verse 8, verse 9, and verse 10 explain how it's paid, that gift is paid. So let's look together. Every believer's gift, gifts are paid for. Now, what is the cost? How much costs my gift? How much costs that talent that you have to sing in the choir? How much costs that talent that you have to teach and exhibit the Word of God so unfolding, that comes so good that you understand it? How much costs that gift that you have in serving others? Somebody have a need and you are right there. And when you are there, it's like a piece of God that helped the other person, and the other person goes through a trial, but you are there as a gift. I have a gift with elderly people. This week I have been with Mrs. Cassada, and they told me that she was under extremely bereavement. Believe me, we make so much fun that even the nurses were coming. And between her and I, we were dividing the sandwich, and I want to eat the food of the people there in the hospital, and they had to stop me because, but everybody was doing well. So much that the administration came in and said, what happened to this lady? She was dying yesterday, and today is so well we can send her home. The gift of encouragement. Remember Barnabas, that the uncle of Mark, the evangelist? He has the gift of encouragement. When Paul said, I don't want your nephew, he's no good, he took it to Crete, they evangelized Crete, and then Paul said, hey, send me your nephew, he is good. After he went through the teaching of Barnabas, a man with a gift of encouragement. All right. Who paid for that? Look at verse 9. The cost. How much cost? Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lowest part of the earth? You know what that is? That's the death of Christ. Let's look in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, and verse 14, page 705 in your Bible. That's the death of Christ. Who is the one who's at the right hand of God? The same that went into hell, he said. Hebrews 2:14, 705. Inasmuch then as the children are partaken of flesh and blood, he himself, talking about Christ, likewise share in the same, said the scripture, that through death, he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. And so the cost of my gift, according to Paul, because the context is all the gift, the cost of that gift is that Christ died for me. If Christ has not died for you, you have no gift. You cannot earn it. You cannot have enough money. You cannot even put your life on it. Because it's not worthy without Christ. And so my gift, the cost, is that Christ pay it. Now, what's the value? One thing is the cost. Another thing is the value. Remember when you buy a house, you say, what is the cost? What is the value? And what is the projection? You know, you do all of those calculations before you buy something. So what is the cost? Now, what is the value? Look in verse 8. Ephesians 4, verse 8. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gift unto men. What is the value? The value is that Christ paid for me and he went to hell for me, that he's not there, he's on high. You see that? He ascended, is it verse 8. He ascended up on high. And what he's doing on high? Look at verse 10. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Do you see that word? Fill. That he must fulfill all things. The one who paid for my gift now have earned the right to give the gift to you. That's why the gift come from Christ. Because he paid for the gift, now he owns you, and so he assigned to you a particular gift so that you can enjoy it. Now, let's look in the book of Acts in chapter 2, verse 32, page 640. Acts chapter 2, verse 32 and 33, page 640, and see if these will help you to understand. The cost of the gift is the life of Christ. The value of the gift is that Christ is not dead, he's alive, and now have earned right to give me a gift. Acts chapter 2, verse 30, chapter 2, verse 32. This Jesus God has raised up, and this is Peter preaching, of which we are all witness. Verse 33. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, that's when he ascended to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He put out these which you now see and hear. What was Acts chapter 2? The people saw the expression of the spirits in the life of the apostles. And so the apostle Peter is saying, we are no crazy people. We are not drunk at this hour. What happened is Christ went up to heaven, and when he sat down at the right hand of the Father, now he bestowed this gift, the gift through the Holy Spirit to each one of us. And so every believer's gift, all gifts are paid for. You don't have to work. You don't have to say, well, I'm going to earn. What can I do in order to sing in the choir? Well, you need to have the gift of singing. All right. I was trying to explain, Raquel, this morning at breakfast, the synchronization of the line of a pentagram with the value of the... She said, forget it. You're never going to get it. Because, see, I already had discovered that I can divide that pentagram 4 and 8, and I'm doing calculations to get the numbers on. You think I'm nuts, but very soon I will have more time, and I'm going to make a pentagram with me. I'm going to pick up the hymn, and I'm going to make it all with numbers. You think, don't waste your time. That's, I cannot play it, but at least I can sing the numbers. When you don't got to give, you don't got to give, she said. Amen, she said now. See, that's what she said. That's what she said at breakfast. When you don't got to give, you don't got to give. But I got to give mathematics, and I can divide the pentagram, and I can. I got to find out why some black things go up and some others go down. I had to find out that. But I tell you, when you got the gift, well, Wednesday night I got a lecture. You know, I pray with the young people. I got a lecture with a clarinet Wednesday night. Greg gave me a lecture, put all the books on the table. We have plenty of time. We were only two, so we pray, and we have 1 hour to wait. So give me 1 hour. I went home with Eric. 1 hour of a lecture, and why these notes? And I saw some of the notes in the clarinet that went way beyond the four. And I said, what these guys are doing here? They're no guys. Is there notes? You know, and I met the value, the key, all kinds of things in the clarinet. And I learned what a sharp is. You want to know what a sharp is? And the clarinet is like this. Like that. And I know what a flat is. Like that. You know, I said, oh, wow. I know when they say flat, it's very, very, very high. And when it is sharp, I thought the clarinet's going to break. It's just fantastic. I learned two things I never knew. But I don't have a gift to play, neither the gift to do it. But some of you have. All right? Candace was with me. I said, Candace, you know anything? I know nothing. So I don't feel bad about it. He that ascended on high paid for the gift. So when you guys play the clarinet or the flute or sing in the choir, will you thank the Lord? Will you thank the Lord? I envy you. I should not, but I envy you. Will you thank the Lord? Will you thank the Lord? He paid for. So every believer is gifted. Every believer's gift of gifts are paid for. And then verse 11 tells me that every believer's gift of gifts are Christ-centered. You know when it's a gift of God because it's Christ-centered. And let me go to the listing here. It's about 4 or 5 of these. Verse 11, they said in Ephesians 4, and he gave some gifts, and some are apostles. Now, you know what is an apostle. An apostle is somebody that has been sent. We don't call that today, but we call that ambassadors. Is that right? We have an ambassador in every country as possible. And so that gift of apostle need to be understood under these two characteristics. In one sense, we are all ambassadors. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:20. In one sense, we are all ambassadors. You see, he gave the gift of apostle, ambassador, somebody sent out. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5:20, and that's page 681, Paul said these words, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. You see that? We are ambassador for Christ. If you were talking in Greek, an ambassador, the Greek word is apostle. Now, even though when you travel away from United States, whether you like it or not, you are an ambassador in general of your country. Now, There is also an office called ambassador. And the same thing here with the word apostle. There is an office of the apostle. And there are some churches today that they try to say that today they are apostles, but it's not true. Look with me in Matthew's chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 and 2, in order to be an apostle, two things need to happen. One, you need to be chosen by Christ. Look at here in Matthew 10, in verse 1 and in verse 2, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them the power over unclean spirit and cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now, the name of the 12 apostles are these. And so Jesus can pick the people. That's what the question was with Paul when he said, I'm an apostle. The Corinthian church, with good basis, said, how can you be an apostle when you came into the kingdom after Christ ascended? Christ did not pick you up. They forgot. Remember the conversion of Paul? That Christ talked to him, and 14 years he spent in Arabia, blessed Arabia, as my grandmother said, where he learned the scripture from the Lord. Now, an apostle is somebody who is picked up by Christ, but also, if you go to Acts chapter 1, in verse 21, page 639, Acts 1, verse 21 and 22, the Bible tells you the second condition to be an office of an apostle, the office of the apostle. The Acts 1, 21 said, therefore, of these men, they remember one died, and that was Judas, and they need to pick up one. And the Bible said in Acts 1, 21, therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness. So an office of an apostle need to be a person that was alive between the baptism of John to the death of Christ. That's the only office that you can call. If you say today, I'm an apostle as an officer, that's wrong. You're an apostle as a mission, but not as an officer. All right, they are the gift of apostles. And then he said in verse 11, in some he gave the gift of prophets. Now, to be a prophet, you need to predict God's word and then proclaim God's word. Let me give you examples. Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came unto me. That was a prediction. And then he said, here is what the Lord said. That's a proclamation. And in that sense, we do not have anybody available. Now, look in Ephesians, in chapter 1 of Ephesians. And let's read from verse 20, which he brought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominions and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he had put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body. Now that's to Christ. If you go to chapter 2 now, you see Christ is everything. Now you go to chapter 2 and look in verse 20. And are built upon the foundation, look at that word, foundation, of the apostles and prophet. Do you see it? Now, if you are a builder, you know the answer. Here's the question. How many times you laid the foundation? Well, only once. And so the apostle and prophets, the office of the apostle and prophet is only once. And so we don't have them anymore. Then he gave the gift of apostle, the gift of a prophet. And now the Bible said in Ephesians 4:11, the gift of evangelist. Now, you don't have today, well, if you said, what is a good evangelist? You will say Dr. Billy Graham. But really, the word evangelist fit more the common word today as a missionary, all right? And if you go to Acts 21, there is in verse 8, one deacon of the church was there in Samaria,
And he was an evangelist, one deacon of the church. Look at Acts 21, verse 8. On the next day, we who were Paul's companion departed, said the scripture, and came to Caesarea and entered the house of, look at what the Bible said, Philip, one of the deacons, Philip the evangelist, said the scripture, who was one of the seven, one of the deacons, and stay with him. Do you see that? And so, evangelist, somebody who had the gift to introduce the Lord Jesus Christ from every corner of the conversation. Somebody who is able to bring Christ to people, an evangelist, a missionary. And then the Bible says in Ephesians 4:11, not only he gave the gift of evangelist, also the gift of pastor. A pastor, you know, that word over there, poimeo, is the word a shepherd. And now, as a pastor, as a shepherd, what am I supposed to do with you? Look, go to 1 Peter in chapter 5 and in verse 2, and you will see what a pastor is supposed to do. Well, let me read 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Here's what the Bible says. 1 Peter 5, verse 1 and verse 2. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory of God that will be revealed. Now, look at what a pastor is supposed to do. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseer. You look around, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Now, what is shepherd? What is the function of a shepherd? What, he take the sheep and take it to pasture, you know? You call it grass, but the Latin word is pasture. That's where we get the word pastore in Latin. See? The grass in your ground is pasto. All right? And so you take the sheep over there, and they eat it all. And you guide them. And when they finish, you move it to another section. And that's the work of a pastor. He moves you through the Bible, and he feeds you with the Word of God. But no one earthly pastor is the chief. Look at verse 4. You're in 1 Peter chapter 5. Look at verse 4. And when the chief, what? Shepherd shall appear, that's the Lord Jesus, you will receive the crown of glory, blah, blah, blah. And so, you know that as a pastor, I'm trying to feed you one time in this field, Ephesians, next time I feed you in Romans, and next time I feed you in Revelation, but I'm not the chief. The chief is the Lord Jesus. There is only one Pope in the universe, the Lord Jesus. That's it. As scripture says, you know who say it? Peter. And look how bad people are, that they made Peter the first pope. And Peter said, I'm just one among you, and the chief shepherd will come. I tell you, people are not reading well the Bible. So shepherds. But that's an end over there. In Ephesians 4:11, he said, you have apostles, and they are gone. They are the foundation. But the function can be place in our hand. They are prophets. They are gone. They are the foundations. But the proclamation can be completed today. They are evangelists. We have missionaries. And they are shepherds who teach us to build the body. But also the Bible said, and teachers. Now, teaching is the gift of instruction. See? And I knew when I was in college, if a teacher knew how to teach or know how to teach. I have in college and in graduate school, excellent man who knew their subject, but they know nothing about teaching. Nothing. Even in seminary. I have a guy that trying to teach Hebrew through English. Impossible. You have to go Hebrew, Arab, Latin, English. Then you understand it. He said, well, that's what he, let me show you. I went over there. I went with the words. See, I learned it when I was little. They were flowing from my ears. And I made my first one in seminary by doing papers in Hebrew and Latin to the graduating class, and I was the beginning class. I charged 75 cents per paper. That was bad, but I paid my parking with that. I tell you, it's a gift. It's a gift. It is a gift. And you know when you are beside a teacher who is a gift, he gives you two instructions, and you know what to do about it. So teachers. Now, how do you prepare a teacher? Well, 2 Timothy chapter 5, chapter 2, verse 15, page 701. 2 Timothy in chapter 2 and in verse 15, page 705 in your Bible. Look at what the Bible said, how a teacher should be prepared. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. So when you're a Sunday school teacher, my friend, this sentence comes to you. If you're a Sunday school teacher, be sure that God says, hey, that's a good lesson you have in your heart. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. You are not ashamed of your work. And so there is a tremendous unity in the gift that God gave. Each one of these gifts is only to make Christ known. You see that? Either you know Christ or you grow in Christ. That's what the gift is. If you have a gift and make yourself known and make yourself really big, that's not a gift of God. The gift of God, when you exhibit and when you produce it, will make the name of God really big. So every believer is gifted. Every believer, a gift of gifts are paid for. Every believer's gift, a gift are Christ-centered. And finally, verses 12 through 16, every believer's gift have a threefold purpose. The immediate purpose is in verse 12. Look, that's the immediate purpose. For the perfecting of the saints. Now, you can change the word perfecting for the word maturity. The gift is so that we prepare believers to do the work of the ministry of God. And it is my hope that as I minister in this church for 20 years, some of you are way ahead than when you started. Some of you really know the scripture and know the Lord and live for Christ way above of when you started with me. Because that's my gift. My gift is not to make myself known, but to let Christ be known and to raise you up in the faith so that you are useful in the work of the ministry. Fantastic. The immediate purpose so that you become aware of Christ and grow to the measure of Christ. Now, there is a personal purpose also. Three things in the personal purpose. Number one, verse 13, a spiritual maturity till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a complete mature man. The gift that a pastor have is to feed you with the word of God until we all come one mind in the Lord spiritually, a spiritual maturity. You no longer, like the book of Hebrews says, wonder where I am in the kingdom. You know where you are in the kingdom and you work in the kingdom and you rejoice in the kingdom. And if not, come here and I shake you enough until you come and go. I tell you, it's a pleasure to see a spiritual maturity. Now also verse 14 talks about intellectual maturity. Look at verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carry about with every wind of doctrine. You know, there will be people knocking your door. Ha, ha, ha. Hey, we come here with the word of God and so on. And you're going to face them. I have it in my neighborhood. They come in and I say, you know, we want to teach you about these magazines. So let me get my Hebrew Bible set. And I go over there with my Greek and Hebrew Bible and they run away. But I wish they can speak. And see, I know what I believe in. Raquel many times tells me, I know what I believe in and I know what I'm setting. And nobody moves on my belief. That's great. That's intellectual maturity. You know what you believe about the scripture. And when some cuckoo come around, whether in person or in radio, and say something crazy, he says, wrong. Then bodily maturity. Look at verse 15. But they speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. What's the head of the body? Christ. And as a church, we may grow under the obedience of that head. One day that head is come back and going to pick up his church. And so there is a personal purpose of the gift, spiritual maturity, so you're really strong in what you learn, intellectual maturity, nobody can confuse you, and then bodily maturity, now you use your gift and the body of Christ becomes really strong. You see that? Praise the Lord. Walking using your gift. Find out what is your gift and use it for the Lord. And what is the result? The whole sermon in a nutshell. Here it is. Psalm 92 and verse 12, page 371. Psalm 92 and verse 12, page 371. Here's the whole sermon in a nutshell. This is what you need to know. Here is what the Bible said. The righteous, the believer will flourish like what? Like a palm tree. And I have preached about the palm tree. That's the only tree that produces fruit the whole year around. That's the only tree, the older there gets, is like the pastor, better looking there gets. Amazing. You will be flourishing like a palm tree. And it is my heavy work as your shepherd to teach you and to love you to death until you really mature and flourish like a palm tree. There is two things I never can stop doing. Loving you is number one, and number two, teaching you. And if you don't learn it in this way, I'm going to plan to teach it in the other way until the Lord give me wisdom so that the Word of God clicks in your mind and you grow in the Lord. But I will love you all the time like Jesus loved his people to the end. Oh, I love to be a shepherd. Why? Some people told me, he said, you are a shepherd because you make money. Hoo-hoo, they don't know what an engineer makes. And less headaches. When you deal with the steels and bolts, they don't talk back to you. they don't call you in the night or in the morning. No, I'm a shepherd because I have that gift. And I don't care who speaks, nobody's going to take that gift away from me except the Lord. It's not beautiful. You have a gift. You have the gift to sing. Don't stay seated on the pew. Just knock the door of the choir director and say, I'm going to sing. If you have the gift of visiting and doing things, just see me or Wayne, and we train you on how to visit and go together. If you have a gift of ministering to people in need, let me know, because I will let you know. I just brought a man to a first time happen in my ministry. Brought a man in emergency for one night's sleep. I walked in our Indian hotel here in town, which is a very decent and clean hotel. And the man said, this one I take care. You have been here so many times, pastors. Some people send them with a little paper and a voucher or something like that, and they sign, and we get the money from them. But you come. This one we pay. How many nights you need? I want to die. He said, I own the hotel. Go home, pastor. Bring another. You know, you believe God is on it, but I tell you, when God does something, even the hinges blow away when they open the door. I can't believe a businessman, an Indian businessman. The iPod was here. You look to him and he looked to you like that. He says, Jesus, how much money I can get from you, you know? I can read it all. He's going to give me. I said, are you sure? Can you do that? I'm the owner. And you are here. And then he turned to the guy and said, you're in good hands. I said, hold it. If he's a Christian, he's in good hands. I'm just a man. I learned from John 1:6, remember? There was a man that came from God. I'm just a man. Listen, use your gift. Your heart will pump like that to see what God will do in your life and what God will do in the life of this church. This is the beginning of great days in our church. May God really bless us. Thank you, Father, for teaching us that every one of us are equal before you, that every one of us have a gift. We confess to you that sometimes we are depressed. We confess to you that sometimes we are confused. And so Elijah was confused, and you don't kill him. You give him a greater ministry. So God, help us to stand tall and to show Christ to the world. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
the mighty to the small, the glory in them all is God's and God's alone. God and God alone reveals the truth of all we call unknown.
And all the best and worst of men won't change the master plan.
It's God and God's alone. God and God alone is fit to take the universe's throne. Let everything that lives reserve its truest praise. For God and God alone. God and God alone will be the joy of our eternal home.
He will be our one desire. Will never tire of God and God alone. God and God alone is fit to take the universe's throne. Let everything that lives serve its truest praise for God and God alone. God and God alone is fit to take the universe's throne. Let everything that lives serve its truest praise for God and God. Let everything that lives reserve its truest praise.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Heavenly Father, we give honor and glory to you. You and you alone are the one who blesses. Thank you for the gift of salvation. And thank you for the addition of one gift or many gifts to serve the body so people may see Christ. Help each one of us to search our heart, to know our gift, and to work within the body with that gift so that people may see a body of Christ who is working together, coherent, in one mind and one spirit and one body. And when all is done, our heart and mind will give glory to God and to Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.